Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I'm Brian.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from crawling claws to cold captivators, and today we're covering the Carrion Crawler.
Prepare yourselves.
Hey, Brian.
Hey.
Happy Valentine's Day, Brian.
It's not.
It's not.
It's super not.
It's 2 days after? 2 days after.
And we recorded Suni. That dropped like the week before, and then we said Happy Valentine's Day in that one.
Yeah, we did.
And then the one that was on Valentine's Day, it's technically not scheduled till the day after. We didn't say shit about it. So it's kind of weird that it's coming up again. But in the reality of scheduling, it's actually not the normal day we record.
That's true. We're doing a Tuesday. That's
so
weird.
Normally we would have had to record on Valentine's Day.
But
we got nasty instead.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. We did have stuff to do.
We're not good at keeping order of the chronology here, guys. It's not a cron pod. All right.
Welcome to the Dungeon Cast.
Welcome to the Dungeon Cast.
This is actually a podcast about D&D lore.
Indeed it is.
Normally we don't start with a warm opener. We just do a cold opener, but here it goes.
So let's talk about one of D&D's stinkiest, ugliest, and meanest monsters, the Carrion Crawler.
Hell yeah.
This burrowing aberration of mysterious origins, as its namesake implies, scavenges the dead in voracious quantities. But large, powerful, and ever hungry, this monstrosity has no qualms at attacking living prey either. Wriggling like giant loathsome caterpillars, these aggressive beasts attack anything that invades their territory or disturbs their feasting on the dead. The crawlers paralyze victims with their tentacles before dragging their prey off to expire and rot. As horrific as they are, carrion crawlers are not technically evil creatures. They are merely driven by hunger, which is pretty much a constant sensation that they feel. So, unaligned or not, these things want to attack and eat you at any given moment. So make of that what you will.
Okay.
It may not be evil, but it kind of amounts to the same thing.
Their intentions for you would result
are very
similar.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Well, is this thing not trying to like torture you? It's trying to just eat you.
Yeah, it wants to eat you, but it wants to kill you and then let you rot first and then eat you.
Yeah.
They like to eat the rotty, nasty bits. They like you to get all nasty, soft and mushy.
The potential here is to be stabbed and left to die.
Yeah, or stabbed by their teeth.
Okay, yeah, yes.
So paralyzed by tentacles, stabbed by teeth. Dragged off to rot.
So it doesn't matter to that. They're neutral whether you live or die or are in pain.
Yeah, they don't care. They're
as
not
long
like
as you're gonna
torturing,
be immobile and they, die, you're,
they're not,
good.
They're not neither happy nor sad about your suffering.
It's not really about you. It's about the bacteria.
Exactly.
The bacteria that grows on you.
Indeed.
After
indeed
you
it
die.
Is. Yes. The crawler essentially looks like a cross between a giant pale yellow and green cutworm, which are those odd caterpillar grub things that you find under rocks or in the dirt. They tend to curl up.
Looking
you ever
up,
seen those things?
Looking up cutworm.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of exploring in like the hills around my house and looking under rocks and stuff. And yeah, they're these weird grubby looking things.
I'm seeing them. They look like a little poop.
So yeah.
Yeah, your special guest Jake and I used to go looking for like lizards and stuff as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't remember these bad boys.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's not like a pill bug.
Yeah, I used to do them a lot growing up here in Southern California. But it's like a cross between those and a centipede.
Nice. That's scary.
The rancid stink of rotten meat surrounds and precedes the arrival of this enormous multi-legged creature with a segmented 10-foot-long body. Hmm. 8 writhing tentacles protrude from its head, growing directly from below its clacking mandibles and tooth-filled maw. The monster's head is covered with a tough hide. Each of a carrion crawler's tentacles is about 2 feet long and secretes a sticky, paralyzing substance. Some versions of carrion crawlers also have 2 long eye stalks, though they can perceive their surrounding even in the darkest of caverns. Most, though, are depicted with enormous insectile compound eyes, just as effective as seeing in the darkest of the eye stalks. Basically, it's addition. They've kind of been drawn a little different.
Yeah.
Additionally, carrion crawlers have a highly developed sense of smell, which is probably necessary to detect prey through their own putrid stink.
Here we go again with the stink.
Mm-hmm, things smell.
So is this an Underdark creature?
It is. Yeah. Well, not always. It can be, though. It's one of the natives.
Okay, yeah. You said a couple of key things, which mean like it sees normal on...
In the dark.
Yeah.
And it sees normal. It's
D&D version.
It sees D&D normal, and it smells really bad.
If you're new to the show, just know that dark vision is normal vision in this game.
Indeed. And finally, a Charon Crawler weighs on average about 500 pounds.
Yikes, man.
So they're big, beefy beasts. Well, yeah, 10
feet long, 500-pound cross between like a...
Grubworm or cutworm and a centipede.
That's wild. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So foul things feed on filth, and so it is that Charon Crawlers squirm through all manner of death, rot, and offal. These bizarre creatures lurk in moist and dark places, seeking to scour putrid flesh from carcasses and gobble the slimy bones that remain.
Ah, man, that's one for the ASMR books right there.
It really is. Like vultures, Charon Crawlers follow the scent of death to their food. However, if they must travel great distances, it's likely that their intended meal will have been claimed by other scavengers by the time they arrive. Thus, Charon Crawlers hunker down in territories where food is plentiful and other carrion eaters have limited mobility. Caves, sewers, dungeons, and heavily forested marshes work best. But Charon Crawlers are also drawn to battlefields and cemeteries.
And oh.
I like that because it reminds me of in The Witcher 3, near the opening of The Witcher 3, you're in an area that's been like riddled by war. And there's just bodies everywhere.
Sure.
And there are places where in The Witcher, ghouls, in D&D 2, ghouls feed on carcasses. Mm-hmm. And so ghoul nests start popping up in these battlefields. And it's kind of wild because you're going this way and there's like a battle going on over there. And then you go down over this way and there's like a dude running from his life from ghouls. And I could see that with Charon Crawlers. Like,
oh my gosh.
Like so, if a battlefield has been fought upon for long enough, it might attract Charon Crawlers.
Yeah, like a civil war. They were like burying bodies in, you know, mass graves and stuff right there.
Right,
Charon exactly. Crawler are going to show up and feast.
Exactly.
Ooh, nasty. That's nasty.
It is nasty. They are nasty. Charon Crawlers mostly eat rotting flesh, but they don't always wait for a creature to die on its own, and they will aggressively attack any creature that trespasses on their territory or disturbs their feasting. Woe to the city that has these monsters in its sewer in a time of siege or plague. In such places, a Charon Crawler roams on the hunt and cynicals feeling the air for the smell of blood or decay.
That's like London. You get... get bubonic plague.
Oh, or yeah, back like, in the Dark Ages.
They would have Charon Crawlers in their, yeah, like, I in their sewers that. And stuff, yeah. Or in their streets.
Although, yes and no. I don't think London had sewers in the Dark Ages. I think all that shit flowed in the streets.
Yes, it did. There was, like, rotting meat out and
yeah,
stuff.
So yeah, so the Charon Crawlers would definitely be drawn to a city set up in that such a way.
That would suck to just see one of these out in broad daylight. Just
go, everyone run, the Charon Crawlers coming.
Well, it would wait
through
till nighttime, right? Like,
probably. It would probably sleep
a nocturnal feel.
I think so.
In the Underdark, it doesn't matter. All time is meaningless.
You would have to have, like...
Is all time meaningless in the Underdark? Like... There's no sunrise or sunset. Where do they go by time?
I think different species have just different ways of keeping track. I know the stone giants have like...
They've got that spiral thing, right? Well, they're like writing like history on their walls.
They have that, but when it comes to like the day-to-day, like I think it's pretty freeform and like... Basically, whoever the master craftsmen are, they get to decide what their 12 hours of being awake looks like. And whoever follows them has to adjust to their time. But everyone's kind of working on different times. Because, yeah, it doesn't really matter. There's no, you know, sky indicator.
Every time this our lead Mycanid, the third fart, that's an hour.
Yeah, exactly. So, despite their great size and poor instinct for stealth, Charon Crawlers can ambush victims by waiting around blind corners for prey to come to them. Since crawlers tend to live in subterranean darkness or hunt at night on the surface, there it is, light signals a potential meal. And a Charon Crawler might follow a light source from a distance for hours, hoping to pick up the scent of blood.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah,
so you could be just like doing your thing through a dungeon and then it sees something and it's been hunting you guys for hours.
Oh, no, man. Crazy. I'm thinking like a merchant on a, you know, a night trek. They got a torch on their cart. It's like, God.
This is why they tell you not to go through the bog at night.
Don't go through anywhere at night and don't have any babies on you because you'll get hacked up. All kinds of stuff will happen.
Within structures, the repulsive creatures often scurry across the ceiling as they move toward food. In this way, they avoid contact with other dangerous inhabitants of the darkness, such as oozes and otiugs, and they can surprise trespassers who don't think they'll look up. Can you imagine when this one of these 500-pound things dropping on you? You're fucked.
Yeah, okay, so is that like reverse fall damage? Or are you just going to roll like bludgeoning damage? Like this 500-pound thing fell this many feet onto you?
I would, yeah, I think I would reverse fall damage it. Just for every 10 feet it fell, that's an extra D6.
That's cool.
Yeah.
There's like a, there's probably like a terminal velocity it reaches at some point, but it's not going to fall more than like.
And if it did, it would splat. It would die, but it would definitely kill whoever it landed on.
Is this, if you're role playing this monster, is this a tactic you would use, is fall from the ceiling? Because
definitely.
Your monster going to take damage?
It depends. Like, I think... If
you fall on enough guys, it's like a cushion. It's like falling on a man sofa.
Sure. I'm thinking 30 feet or higher, I'll do a little bit of fall damage.
Okay.
But like 20 feet, it's a 10-foot tall thing.
Because this is baked into the lore.
It's baked into the lore. It attacks from the sky.
A strategic thing it does. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So when facing potential prey or intruders, a carrion crawler prefers to let its poison do the work. The beast strikes as many enemies as it can with its tentacles and saves its bite for poison foes who get too close for comfort. Once a victim becomes rigid with paralysis, the carrion crawler wraps it in tentacles and drags it away to a secure eating area, such as a high ledge or a hole in the wall. Mm. The crawler, you know those hole in the wall restaurants are the best. They're the absolute best.
No.
The crawler then looms over its meal and watches for signs of life, striking with a tentacle if it sees any.
Okay.
No, you die. When the crawler believes the prey to be dead, it coats the victim's flesh with toxic saliva to disguise the stench as the corpse decays. And then it resumes patrolling its territory while waiting for the meal to ripen.
I'm glad I waited to ask because I was going to say, like, so these things probably have a storeroom. Let's talk about the Underdark. They've got a storeroom in the Underdark where they drag their prey to.
Yeah, it's probably got a sleepy hole, like a place where
up high, hard to get to. They got to drag it up there. I was thinking, like, it's to keep the smell contained, but they're also doing this other thing.
Right, exactly. Cool. Because, like, as dangerous and nasty as carrion crawlers are, they tend to live in places where there's equally, if not more so, terrifying, smelly, mean things.
Exactly.
So, like,
yeah,
they're not top of the food chain where they tend to be. They're somewhere in the middle.
Purple dragon up there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's that, but there's, you know, there's all kinds of shit. There's drow. There's mind flayers. There's all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of purple stuff.
Beholders.
Purple worm.
Yeah, purple worm. Yeah, there we go.
Purple mushrooms. Oh, they're pretty low.
So perhaps more so than in any other form of environment, carrion crawlers are much feared denizens of the underground world and the Underdark. Here they dwell in nests and lairs, venturing out in search of carrion or food every few days. Some underground inhabitants, such as kobolds and trolls, will make use of carrion crawlers by leaving the bodies of the dead foes out in designated areas. Mm. This keeps the creatures at a good distance from their homes and encourages them to patrol certain areas.
Okay.
Some orcs have been known to chain live prisoners near the lairs of these fearsome monsters.
That sucks.
That's a hell of an execution. Using the crawlers in this way is not so much as a domestication as a symbiotic relationship of guard and executioner.
They won't eat us if you have something to eat.
Exactly, because they're full. They're happy.
Yeah.
But despite their wild and territorial nature, carrion crawlers can, with difficulty, be manipulated, brought to heel, and truly domesticated. Goblins and similar creatures attempt to raise carrion crawlers from birth and coach them for battle. The venom of a young crawler is too weak to paralyze prey, so they can be domesticated after a fashion and used as guard beasts. Some creatures even train carrion crawlers as mounts, although riders must employ tentacle harnesses to keep from being paralyzed themselves. And it is not uncommon for illithids to actively raise crawlers for various purposes.
So they're grabbing the tentacle. They're using the tentacles as, like, reins. So basically, like, cover over it.
I guess
part
so.
Part of their, like, saddle setup.
I guess so. But you're also, like... What's the word? It's like what am I trying to say here? Like, they're dulling their own weapon here. Because they're riding in this in battle, well, those paralysis tentacles are great to paralyze your enemies, but I guess you don't want them hitting you. But if you're mitigating them, well, then it's only got its teeth.
You got to be really fast. You got to have really high dex, really fast hands, really special gloves.
Yeah.
Because you're going to let one go and grab another one so it can whip. You feel the pull? It's time to let go.
Just thought of something really gross. So the tentacles are constantly secreting, right? So what if they have sacs at the end of these covers?
If you say they are, sure.
Well, they are.
Okay.
And so, like, what if they have sacs at the end of these tentacle harnesses that, like, gather it up? And then at some point they could pull something that squirts out all over their enemies. Hell yeah. Let's take a short rest.
Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey everybody, be sure to check out
Super Quest Saga, a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me. And set in space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
We've returned.
Indeed we have.
We're fucking back at it again. God damn it, DeGonzo.
We never stopped.
We did. We did stop.
Well, I guess we kind of stopped. Yeah, that's true.
Watch Super Quest Saga,
and
please.
We're back. Yeah, please. It's a good show, I think.
Sorry if you don't like
the
ads.
I'm a little biased.
Sorry if you don't like the ads on this show. You can skip them.
Yeah. That's all we can say. Karen Crawlers. Oh, God, my phone. Karen Crawlers will sometimes live with a mate or in a small group numbering no more than 6. This does not mean that this person should stop texting me. This does not mean that they cooperate in hunting, though. They merely share the same space and compete fiercely for the same food. If two crawlers have made a kill or discover carrion,
we'll turn your phone off.
I will as soon as we're done recording. They will often fight over the food, sometimes killing one another in the process. So not the most amicable roommates. Why they even like get together at all is a fucking mystery. I guess to mate, but like, why would you get into a group of 6 if you're just gonna fight over everything?
Yeah, like that's not. Okay. Two crawlers rolling out. Are you expecting more difficult or more plentiful opponents? Like,
I would have. Okay, let me take back what I just said. I could see why they would hole up in the same territory if a territory is so bountiful. If the battle has been going on for 20 years,
yeah,
and it just never stopped, like you're just going to have a plethora of these guys, and they're going to have to interact with each other. Some will mate, and some will kill each other.
Yeah, and then you don't need if the battle's going on for that long, you're probably not worried about gathering the bodies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, things have broken down to such a point that you have a crawler infestation.
Right.
So like, okay. Yeah, there's no one here to really care.
So eventually, the fighting stops, and the crawlers turn on themselves, each other, dissipate?
I would suppose so. Like, go away? They would have to. Once the food becomes more scarce, they start fighting over the food, eventually start killing each other over food, and eventually the food's gone.
Yeah, so it probably devolves into them killing each other and then to them dispersing to find new
bounty.
Yes,
okay. Yes. Karen Crawlers are non-intelligent with an intelligence score of a whopping 1.
Oh,
which,
God.
As I've said before, is only 1 smarter than a rock.
Yeah. So it's really base. It's just smell.
It's just a giant bug. It's a giant bug monster. It eats... It shits. It sleeps.
I know. It's acting.
It does nothing else.
It's acting like a.
It's like a vacuum cleaner.
A snail or a fly or
yeah, exactly.
Just bacteria. It just eats bacteria eating bacteria.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
It's just a very big bacteria.
Like, in a way, carrion crawlers serve a purpose in that they probably prevent plague more than they cause it.
Yes.
Right.
But they also cause some you plague. To get chewed on.
Yes. They can cause death, but not a pandemic.
So would we rather have... Okay, well, the answer's clear there, right? Like, we'd rather have the carrion crawler rather than, like, a rampant plague.
Definitely. Okay. I would even go as far to say I would not be surprised if some cities would integrate carrion crawlers into their sewer system. Like, you're gonna lay some eggs
down
there.
Our sewer system, it keeps shitting, guys, because if you don't, the carrion crawlers will come looking for you.
Yeah, but, I mean, you don't have to worry about that because cities are disgusting, you know? When you get people together, they cause a lot of trash.
Dennis, how many times am I going to have to write you up for shitting in the street, bro? You'll be the end of us.
But... But yeah, so, I mean, you could definitely integrate them. Anyways, clever travelers have been known to fool an approaching carrion crawler with a sight or smell illusion, thus gaining time and make good on their escape. They're easy to trick. They only got one intelligence.
Goddamn, I never even thought. We did the illusion episode. Mm-hmm. Like, we built those characters. I never thought to make a smell illusion.
That's true. Everyone thinks visual, right? Or sound.
Because illusion is, you immediately think of your eyes.
Yeah, like, you do.
Being
you
tricked do. Visually. But yeah.
Smell,
and
for
sound,
sure.
Too. I mean, because the descriptions say to, like, do motion and make sounds, more higher level stuff, but it never even passed my mind to make it smell like shit.
I don't tend to play illusionists all that often, so I'm not as experienced in, like, causing illusionary bullshit as you would think.
I don't think it's a super popular class because there were not a lot. Usually we'll get some conversation mm-hmm. about what goes on with illusions and, like, what's possible. And mm-hmm. even when I go do internet searches for illusion stuff, it's just kind of like, do whatever you want, dog. It's right. illusions.
Which is, yeah. Which
okay, is, yeah. Fair You're enough. Totally right.
So back to the carrion crawlers. Most editions suggest that a wizard's mad experiment gave birth to the first carrion crawlers. This is a common explanation for many monstrosities, including owlbears, chimeras, etc. But 4E gives a different explanation, of course. In 4E, it is said that a wizard did introduce the revolting beasts to the world, but they were not created in a laboratory. A spellcaster whose name is lost to history opened a connection to the Far Realm in hope of learning that plane's secrets. Her irresponsible act resulted in the slaughter of everyone in her city.
Damn.
Carrion crawlers were not the worst horrors to cross the bridge between dimensions that day. They only came to devour those that other fell beings had already slain or driven mad. Since that ancient time, carrion crawlers have spread throughout the world, and they continue to cross over from the Far Realm whenever fools gain the power to breach that disturbing plane.
So these are the bacteria of
the Far Realm. Yeah, if you want to go with that. And I almost always prefer that to, like, a wizard made it on accident one time, you know?
Oh, no. I had a centipede, and I had a cutworm, and I cast enlarge, and something went wrong. I broke a fucking...
That is kind of
fun. I Powerpuff Girl style dropped some Chemical X on that shit.
That is kind of fun.
Can you imagine? This is your lore. Like, your party is there for the birth of the carrion crawler, mm-hmm. and then it just starts multiplying for some reason and burrowing. It's like, no.
This is all my fault.
Hey, I think I can ride that shit. Let me grab these tentacles.
Oh, no, the harnesses. It's everywhere.
How are there already goblins on these?
Though monstrous, violent, and horrifying to behold, and definitely unnatural abominations, either created via diabolical experimentation or pulled forth from a dimension of madness, carrion crawlers do seem to fit into the natural order of the food chain quite well. The carrion crawler provides the same useful, if disagreeable, functions that jackals, vultures, and crows perform. Like so many other predators, carrion crawlers instinctively prey on the weak, sick, and foolish. In the long run, this has a beneficial effect on their prey on a species-wide level, strengthening its gene pool. Mm. The carrion crawler also works wonders in overcrowded caverns, quickly eliminating population problems among the weaker monsters. Thus, the life cycle of the crawler is inextricably linked to that of its prey. When the prey flourishes, so does the crawler.
That's insightful. This is what I felt like. Things are bigger in D&D.
Yeah, so things are bigger.
You need bigger scarier. Animals to do this job
right,
sometimes,
exactly.
I guess.
Exactly.
And you know, they're really not the reason that shit smells bad. Shit just smells bad, and they are interested in that.
Yeah, they're interested in
it. They're actually making stuff not smell bad.
Exactly. Except for themselves. They do smell bad.
That's right.
But they are actively making the world smell better.
Sure. So would we rather have the smell from all the stuff the carrion crawler would eat or the smell of the carrion crawler?
The crawler, because it's located in one thing that moves away from you probably.
I'm starting to fucking love these things.
Oh, they're great. I love carrion crawlers.
Starting to fucking
They're like oozes, things. Which I also love for some reason.
Okay, that's I was going to say. It's like ooze Roomba.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what these are.
These are just worse.
They're worse looking Roombas.
Uglier Well, I saw a picture for a second.
This is the non-leading brand Roomba.
This is the off-brand Roomba.
This is the off-brand Roomba.
They actually made this one first.
It's true.
It's like, uh-oh, we can do better.
Okay, so the carrion crawler mates only once a year. Several days after mating, the female will go off in search of a large kill. When she has found or killed an adequate food supply, she lays about 100 eggs amongst the carrion. The grubs hatch 1 week later and begin feeding. Maternal care ceases once the eggs have been laid, and it's not uncommon for eggs to later be eaten by the female who laid them.
Bummer.
Females die a few weeks after laying their eggs, though, exhausted by the effort. Males live only a short time longer, having mated with as many females as possible, and likely also exhausted by the effort. The life of their offspring is often a trial of violence and death, as grubs tend to consume one another in feeding frenzies, and are a favorite food of adult carrion crawlers, of course.
Man.
Few of the grubs reach maturity, but those that do have eaten voraciously and will achieve their full size inside a year. When they reach maturity, the mating cycle begins again. These monsters exist on the most basic instinctual level, having no more intelligence than earthworms or most insects. The carrion crawler is driven by only two urges, food and reproduction. It has absolutely no interest in anything else.
Yeah, and that totally tracks. It's like that's like this thing's whole bit. I just eat garbage.
I eat garbage. You're welcome.
I walk around, and once a year, I gotta fuck. Otherwise.
And then I die.
And then I go, yeah, and then I die, and then my children or my cousins or whatever.
They grow up and do the same
thing.
They
come and eat me.
Yeah, exactly that.
There's nothing tastier than a carrion crawler that has also been decaying.
Carrion crawlers don't waste anything.
They don't waste anything. They let bacteria grow and flourish, and then they suck all that stuff
out. Absolutely.
Okay.
So the paralytic slime that coats their tentacles is a valuable alchemical substance known as carrion crawler brain juice.
What? That's like a branded name of this?
It is. It's a thing.
It's in all caps.
It's in all caps. Yes. It's a thing. I actually used this item back and forth edition quite a few times.
It's like...
I coated my swords with it.
Oh,
it was great.
Oh, man. You can do that?
Yes. Oh. It is called this as it is produced in the creature's brain and can be extracted from the creature in large quantities from that organ. This juice can be used, obviously, as a poison to paralyze victims via weapon or glove coating, or it can be used counterintuitively as an anti-paralytic via alchemy.
This is wild. I didn't know that the last paragraph of these notes were going to be the wildest shit I've ever heard.
Yeah.
This changes everything.
I think the next time I end up playing a ranger, I really want to lean into like the monster hunter kind of like...
That Van Helsing, stuff like, and like trophies.
Take trophies is cool, but more along like
science trophies that you turn into trophies. Applicable things.
Exactly. Yes, that, you know, and I would like to like make all my gear out of my kills and all that other stuff. That's fun.
Is interesting to be like a monster hunter that like really relies on this stuff. Like,
right.
Or not even relies. Like, I killed the first one. Mm-hmm. Let's use the parts from that to help me kill whatever else I need.
Exactly.
This is used for this, or this is a general purpose, like blah, blah, blah.
Right, exactly.
That's really cool. Exactly. That's some Breath of the Wild shit where you're cooking monster parts and stuff to make elixirs.
Like, yes, I like that. Exactly. I like that too. And I'm out of notes, so it's time to talk about its stat block.
I got some official Wizards of the Coast content.
Indeed.
Right here.
You bookmarked it and everything.
I bookmarked it, and now I'm going to put this little thing down where the notes are on. I'm going to read you guys the stat block for the carrion crawler.
Let's go over it.
Man, this is a wild looking... I mean, it looks... Like,
oh, you're looking at
it looks
picture.
Like you zoomed in on a bug, pretty much. Right. But like that's typically freaks me the fuck out.
Sure, so as it should.
Here we are. Mm-hmm. Large monstrosity, unaligned. It has an armor class of 13 natural, mm-hmm. hit points of 51 or 60, 10 plus 18, mm-hmm. a speed of 30 feet and a climbing speed of 30 feet, which is in line with all the things you said. Mm-hmm. We got a strength of, and did we decide to do the plus, not the big number, the small number, right, on these
I like big scores? Numbers, but you do whatever you want, man.
Okay, and then it was big numbers. Strength 14, dex 13, mm-hmm. con 16, mm-hmm. intelligence 1. wisdom, I'm just not used to seeing minus 5 on anything.
I know.
Minus 5? Wisdom plus, wisdom is 12. And charisma is only a 5.
It's 5 times more charismatic than...
It's not only stupid, it's weak-willed.
It is, yeah. Yeah, because it's just an instinct monster.
Right, it's at its own mercy to go find
It has no free will. Stuff. It has no free will. It just eats, sleeps, shits.
I mean, it has some... It needs enough free will to fuck once per year.
That's not free will. That's instinct, my friend.
Well, they got to pick somebody, right?
Instinct, my friend.
There's very little here. We can agree on that.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll go with mine.
All right.
Doesn't take a lot.
I don't even think people have free will, so there's that.
Whoa. Just dropping philosophical bombs on the podcast.
I mean, I've
thought
about it pretty extensively. We're okay. Not going to talk about it here, though.
We're talking about it. Skills is a perception plus +3. Mm-hmm. It's got 60 feet of dark vision, a.k.a. normal vision, and a passive perception of 13.
60 feet's impressive, though.
It is, but I feel like with the description we got, I mean, yes, 60 feet is a lot, so mm-hmm. I guess that does track. It doesn't know any languages. Its only language is love once per year. Its challenge rating is 2. Cool. I was kind of expecting
it's challenge rating too.
Yeah, a higher challenge rating, but two is pretty good. And two the is unique good. Stuff you can kind of do so far without even reading it.
Dude,
like,
at level
abilities.
One, this thing's a full on boss. Like this thing is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna
horrifying
say like,
to behold.
If you can just like one shot two dudes that you just fall on, mm-hmm. 10 feet long, like you mm-hmm. could probably get two guys under there. Yeah.
And if these things are attacking in pairs, that's a nice like tough fight for like. Level 2, 3, 4 people. So
they got to have enough free will to look at each other from the ceiling, oh my gosh. Give each other a wink, and then fucking like base jump at the same
of course,
time.
Absolutely. Like, although I don't know if you can wink with compound eyes.
No, yeah, eyelid. They are. Yeah, huh? Yeah. I was looking at it's got a like a really long, oblong kind of like jelly bean
yeah,
shape eye.
Yeah.
But there's not going to be a.
There's no wink.
There's not going to be an eyelid on that.
No.
I don't see any eyelashes.
No, absolutely
not. Like our good beholder.
So what are abilities? What has it got?
Keen smell. The carrion crawler has advantage on wisdom perception checks that rely only on smell. The spider climb. So the carrion crawler can climb difficult surfaces, including upside down on ceilings without needing to make an ability check.
Badass.
It's kind of strange. This body looks really long in the art and mm-hmm. little tiny legs, but there's mm-hmm. a lot of them.
You know, there's been multiple art. I've seen the art with actual like centipede style legs. So
yeah.
there's all kinds of carrion crawler art. And you know what? That kind of tracks because like there's not just one kind of beetle. There's countless types of beetles.
Mm.
So maybe
you know
that
what?
Tracks for carrion
I
crawlers.
Bet they're acting as like hooks. They hook in and then the body... like compresses,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And then, what's the opposite of compression? Expands.
Yeah.
And then rehooks. So there's always, its whole,
oh,
its legs
it's
aren't scuttering.
Attached,
it's
yeah.
just, oh, yeah, that yeah. makes total sense.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
So multi-attack, the carrion crawler makes 2 attacks, one with its tentacles and one with its bite. The tentacles, melee weapon attack plus 8 to hit, reach of 10 feet on one creature. It's going to hit for 4 or 1d4 plus 2 poison damage, and the target must succeed on a DC 13 constitution saving throw or be poisoned for 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
Until this poison ends, the target is paralyzed. The target can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of its turns, ending the poison on itself on a success. You purge that shit immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So the bite is going to be a melee weapon attack with plus 4 to hit, reach of 5 feet, one target. With a hit for 7 or 2d4 plus 2 piercing damage. So you were saying that it's going to opt for the tentacles until it needs to bite.
Yes.
So that's the way you roleplay this fight.
That's
basically
how I would do it.
You fall on somebody.
You paralyze everyone that you touch.
Yeah.
And then you start biting.
So if you... This falling on people has got me fucked up a little bit. Not because it doesn't make sense, but just because...
It's so effective and dangerous.
If this is a 500-pound thing,
uh-huh.
how is a level 1 character going to get out from underneath it without
assistance?
Oh,
you're probably not.
Right.
Yeah.
So are they going to suffocate under there? Are they just restrained?
If you put this thing against your level 1 party, and let's just presume they have 5 of them, it's a boss fight for sure.
Yeah,
and the dude
yeah,
got
totally.
Landed on
the,
is
the
in
damage
big
on this, it's going to take 3 hits to down a guy. Yeah, successful hits.
I think the dude who gets landed on is already unconscious.
Yes, absolutely.
What do you have, 13 HP at level 1?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so
it's
if it
not,
drops
it's
30
much
feet,
higher than that.
That's 3d6. Chances are you're
right. Up. So the first guy's down, so
yeah.
now you have 4.
You have 4 people trying to figure stuff out, and it's probably going to crawl off that person as you draw it forward, and then you got to get the heal around the unconscious dude ASAP.
So this thing falls, initiative, or right after
yes.
that? Okay,
yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a scary monster for a little. Even a level 2 party is going to mm-hmm. really struggle with mm-hmm. one of these.
Yeah.
So in that scenario,
yeah.
especially.
It's a cool little mob for, you know, you might come across a pack of 6 of these at a high level, you know, in like a battlefield.
Yeah. And they're 10 feet long, man. Like, even if they're not super threatening to a high level party, there's a lot and they're big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're paralyzing people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's scary.
Yeah, exactly. The paralysis is a big, big game changer.
I would say this is too difficult for a level 1 party.
I think so. Yeah. Unless you're doing like a really grim, dark, harsh environment.
You
got
kill
a nice
somebody.
Big party, like of 6 people, then that's a little different.
You're going to have to go back to the temple and get a new healer, dog.
I think 6
I
think 6 level.
I crushed that guy.
I think 6 level 1s could take on a single carrion crawler.
Yeah.
Because if you got a couple like wizards in the back, like a ranger, some wizards, a couple fighters up on it, like I think you could last long enough. A few people will get knocked unconscious, but you should be able to take it.
Yeah, I think those hardier classes will do okay.
A couple crits, you know. It's only got 50 HP.
I think it's definitely doable.
It's gonna be tough.
It's definitely gonna
be. But I like that.
That's a challenging fight for level ones. Indeed. Less challenging for level two, but still probably pretty challenging. The HP pool is what's probably gonna get you through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
With that being said, I think we can get ready for long rest.
Yeah, we should.
Let's do it.
Hey everybody, welcome to the long rest. We're back to building our beholder.
Indeed.
What was last episode?
Oh God, it's so long ago. I know. Was it Suni? Was it Suni?
No,
it was the Warlock episode.
Okay,
Warlock. And we gave it skin as white as snow. And what was its beam again?
I'm pulling it up. I'm pulling up the list.
Okay. Because it would have been based off the genie, right? So what was the genie beam you gave it?
I gave it a tornado for my Wind Genasi.
So it's got a tornado
somebody
beam.
Somebody in Discord suggested, or was it Discord? A comment came through somewhere. We have so many threads for that now. But they were like, oh, it should have put somebody in a lamp.
A lamp beam?
Yeah.
That
would have been cool. I
like the wind beam.
I gave merit to that idea, but also I don't want to, like, we got...
We're not retconning.
Nah.
And also, I like tornado beam.
I like tornado beam, too. Push beam, it's, like, kind of mild in terms of beams. Yeah,
but, there's also a beauty beam that we gave it, so it beautifies.
I think we should errata the kind of beautification it does.
Why?
I think beauty should be in the eye of the beholder. So it's whatever the beholder thinks is beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Because we remember that episode, we were kind of trying to figure out, like, what is beauty?
Well, did we settle on it, like, whoever it hits, whatever their ideal beauty is?
Yes.
But you want to do it in the eye of the beholder.
I think beauty should be in the eye of the beholder.
Stupid, but yes. Okay.
Yeah. Sounds or good. Whatever beholders think are beautiful.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Yeah.
I think what about today's beam? Beekeepers. People keep saying beholders, like, they're beekeepers.
Why?
The official, you know, like a person that tends to bees.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but like, why are they beekeepers?
That's like their official title, isn't it? They're beekeepers, not beeholders. Like, the pun is a little loose on that one.
I'm so confused.
It's okay.
Okay.
Okay, so we got...
today's ray and today's physical feature. I think we decided, right?
Yes. Well, let's recap. We got a roar beam in main. We got a petrification beam in gullet. Uh-huh. We got a math beam, which is just a confusion spell, and turtle beak.
Uh-huh.
We've got a love beam and long eyelashes. And the hovercraft thing happened. And then the tornado beam and snow white skin.
Yes.
This is great.
Yeah.
Okay. So today, carry on crawler.
Yes.
You kind of recapped what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
You go ahead and hit him with the beam. And I'll hit him with the feature.
Okay. So brain juice beam.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's a paralysis ray, but it's instead of green, nasty juice that coats all over you.
Yep.
So it just squirts right out of its eye.
It's just a bit from the right before the short rest.
Uh-huh.
Here again.
Yes, it's here. It's true.
And okay, we're going to give it a compound eye. Now, the art in the monster manual, we looked at it, and it's kind of like a glossy thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to give it, Will was showing me, like, the eye of an ant.
Yeah, the actual insect compound
or fly.
Eye. Like a really round, segmented eye thing.
A gridded, like, hexagonal sort of.
It was right in the center with them nice eyelashes rolling right off of it.
What's that phobia? Where people are scared of, like,
sponges? Is it tropophobia?
Is that what it's called?
Something like that. It starts with a T, but I know what you're talking about. I don't have it as a phobia, but it's fucking disgusting looking.
It depends on what it is, because some people, they're more afraid of it on, like, there's, like, a skin condition. Mm-hmm. Tropophobia is the fear of moving or making changes. So No, not that. But something, there's a phobia, and it has to do with, like, circles or, like, honeycombs can be like a trigger for it.
Yeah,
this will trigger
any type
that
of holes in a surface.
Right, exactly.
That shouldn't be there.
Or even should.
Fear or that, yeah. Fear of holes in a surface. I'm Googling it right now.
The feature has nothing to do with this phobia, by the way.
Tripophobia.
Tripophobia.
Yeah.
You had a lot of the same letters there.
Yeah, I did. I really did.
So we're going to give it that kind of eye. Now,
eye that strikes fear into the hearts of people with trypophobia.
It doesn't do anything except unless you have trypophobia.
Well, it sees really good in the dark.
It sees really good in the dark. Yeah. And also, we're going to give it the like tentacle feelers above the eye.
Yeah, I'm into that.
So just like the carrion crawler, they have like a really sharp angle in them. So they come out forward and then dip back and they're really long.
This thing is fucking horrifying. This beholder is nasty.
I like these things sitting like in between the eye stock beams, and as the eye stock beams kind of move around to do stuff, they're getting moved.
Yeah,
they're,
I like that.
There's a lot of pointless aesthetic on this.
Yes, on this there thing. Really is. Okay. Let's tell people where they can find all their stuff and call it a game.
We got Twitter. We got Instagram.
I think that contest is still going on, actually.
Oh, yeah. We don't really manage. We only semi-manage that now.
Yeah.
This episode airs on February 22nd. Okay.
So we still have a few episodes. So, yeah, guys, we're giving away 2 copies of the Candlekeep Mysteries. On Twitter, if you want to enter the contest, all you got to do is share an episode of the show with the hashtag DungeonCast. Our assistant will catch you on there and add you to the list. And then the rules for the Instagram contest are the same rules as they've been before.
Yeah,
so
pretty much.
You just tag a person
In the comments below. Okay, so the rules are follow the account, like the post, and then comment with tagging a person. Tag one of your friends, somebody you think that would be interested in the show.
Yeah.
You can tag, it should be like this, tag it as many times, tag different people as many times as you want, and they all count as different entries.
Right.
We do these contests because we want to spread the word about the DungeonCast. Mm-hmm. So,
plus, it's cool to give books away. That's nice, too.
We like giving back.
Yeah.
And we want to give back to people that tell people about the DungeonCast specifically.
Absolutely.
We also want to give back to our patrons, who I will say thank you for being patient. These episodes normally drop early on Sunday.
Yeah. We had a delay.
Yeah. We were busy.
Yeah. It was Valentine's
Day. I was busy in a way you probably wouldn't think. So don't worry about it. They're here. They'll be here. It's Tuesday. They'll be here tonight. It won't happen again, maybe.
But we're giving away the 2 books on March 16th. So you still have some time to enter, but get in there. You can enter as many times as you want. So don't let a day go by without an entry.
Day go by. Anyway, go to Patreon if you want to support us beyond that. And you can get early ad-free episodes at the $5 level. That's like the earliest bonus content tier we have. Plus, there's a ton of other live game stuff in there. Mm-hmm. We got the Dungeon Chats, which is a shoot the shit podcast me and Will do. We drop it as often as we can. And then, there's beyond that, just check it out. If you're already going to plan to go to the Patreon, you want to support us further beyond, there's tons of good stuff on the Patreon, including if you want to read along, episode notes. Like we do here on the show. You could check those out. Other than that, I don't really have much except for thanks for listening.
Indeed.
Got to start telling people I love them again on the regular. So it's going to go here. We're going to slot it right at the back. It used to be a short rest thing. And now it's a end of the episode. Good night. I love you sort of thing. Yeah. Good night. I love you. Sweet dreams.
All right, guys. We're going to call it a game. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.